The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Frank Urban from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Salute a Veteran Every Day. And today, our veteran is Jim Hamilton. Jim's been with us before, but this time is going to be some helpful information on dealing with the VA. And Jim, welcome to Salute a Veteran Every Day.
Frank, it's always a pleasure to be with you, and it's a pleasure to be back with our veterans.
Yes, indeed. This program is going to be a little different. You've been on before. I think you're on twice before.
Twice before.
Because you've got so much to tell.
I love to tell my stories.
We were talking the other day, and I told you, hold that. We're going to get a third one out of you. And this is going to kind of focus in on Agent Orange and the Vietnam War.
Actually, Frank, we've learned a lot about Agent Orange, not only during our time in Vietnam, but more so after our time away from Vietnam, the uses of Agent Orange and the effects of Agent Orange. And this was almost going to be like a public service announcement or public service information to those vets listening, because there can be a lot learned from this.
Yes, you vets out there, listen up.
For those Vietnam vets, of course, every one of you, including myself, we were familiar with Agent Orange. In fact, it was a defoliant. It was used all over Vietnam. However, what you may not know, for you other vets stationed in other parts of the world, Agent Orange was used in, now, and we're talking in the Vietnam era, because Agent Orange, there are other contaminants that were used in the war in Southwest Asia. We're not talking about that. We're going to concentrate on the Vietnam era. Agent Orange was used in Guam. Agent Orange was used in Korea. And Agent Orange was used in Thailand, in addition to being used in Vietnam. Now, for many years, the government denied there was any danger of Agent Orange affecting people. But as research has shown since, that is totally untrue. And the government during that time, in my opinion, was very deceitful. They weren't truthful with the troops in those areas. To give you a case in point, at the time I was getting ready to go into the Air Force, there were two of my other classmates from school, high school. Two of us opted to go into the Air Force. The third gentleman opted to hold out and be drafted by the Army. And his rationale was, well, while you got a guy to serve 4 years, I'm going to only serve 2 years. Well, that was his rationale was correct, but his decision was a bad one, but not knowingly a bad one. The reason is, in sometime in the late 60s, he was drafted, and he was at Fort Polk, Louisiana, going through AIT. His unit was destined to go to Vietnam when an incident with the North Koreans occurred when they captured one of our ships called the USS Pueblo. And at that time, their unit was diverted to the DMZ in Korea. In 1970, we had all returned from the service, two of us back from Vietnam, one back from Korea, and we were reminiscing about, okay, what were the adventures and what was it like? And Korea, by the way, on the DMZ was a hot zone. There was fire going on across the border.
Over the lines.
In fact, I had another acquaintance that was riding in a three-quarter ton truck, and an RPG came in through the right side of the door. He suffered a severe leg injury from that, but nobody ever heard about that. Well, we were talking in the fall of 1970, and my classmate that had been in Korea said, you know, we would go out on the DMZ, we'd go out on patrol, and when we got back, there was this greasy stuff all over our fatigues. And said, we never knew what it was. And in 1970, he did not know what it was. But as life progressed, he started developing a myriad of health problems. And it eventually took his life, all due to Agent Orange. I mean, he had, I just can't, it was pathetic how this person basically withered away. Just like Agent Orange would have an effect on life around, you know, the plant life. It had an effect on his body the same way.
You're talking about the grease on the uniform.
The grease on the uniform, we later found out, was Agent Orange. But nobody revealed that to him. And in another situation, I was stateside for 3 years in a replacement training unit for the Air Force. This was with F-105s. In our mission in the Air Force, we would take young trainees from the tech schools, primarily your weapons personnel and your crew chiefs or mechanics. They would train on the F-105, and pilots were being trained, too. They were being cross-trained from other aircraft. It could have been transports, bombers, recon aircraft, but they were being trained on the F-105. And they would be reassigned to Thailand, either Korat or Tak Lee. Those were the two F-105 bases in Thailand. People don't realize this. It was a shorter route from Thailand to North Vietnam than it was from South Vietnam to North Vietnam. Hence, the bases in Thailand. Yeah. What we noticed, and this is before I rotated to Vietnam, a lot of the fellows that would go over to Thailand, spend their year, and come back, when they came back and returned to our unit here in the States, were showing examples of skin rash. They would report to sick bay. Sick bay would treat it in what they thought was a normal way, but there was no cure for whatever it was they had.
They didn't know they were
being exposed to Agent Orange in Thailand. And primarily these were the fellows that would arm the weapons at the end of the runways. A lot of air policemen that patrol the borders or the gates of these bases that were out in the hinterland, so to speak, they too were affected by it because this is where the Agent Orange was being used. So we all returned back not knowing, it was just those of us in Vietnam knew that there was exposure to Agent Orange. Many of these fellows in Thailand had no idea. The fellows in Korea had no idea. And it was Agent Orange was used in Guam as well. And those individuals had no idea they had been exposed to Agent Orange. And we are now, you know, living with the consequences of exposure to Agent Orange 50 years later.
Yeah.
And I think for those vets, those of you listening, I would strongly suggest if you served in any of those areas that you register with the Veterans Administration. They have been very proactive, I mean extremely proactive, on helping vets that have been exposed to Agent Orange. And the last year or so, they passed what was called the PACT Act, that where a lot of conditions that you may be suffering from now are now recognized as events occurring from the exposure to Agent Orange. Mm-hmm. This could be high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. It could be high blood sugar levels, high A1C, and then cancers. There's a myriad of cancers that are also covered by the PACT Act. And I would encourage anybody who...
Spell PACT Act.
P-A-C-T.
Okay.
PACT Act. And they need to call a veterans, check in with a veteran service officer, or if they haven't gone to the VA, they need to go there.
Where are they located?
I would recommend for those in our area to go to the Durham VA. Mm-hmm. There's an office there that will register that person. You'll get a VA service card. Mm-hmm. That's an identification card that is good with all VAs. Now, in the VA system, there are what they call community-based outpatient clinics. And here in Raleigh and Raleigh, this area, we have four or five or six of those community-based outpatient clinics. They call them CBOCs.
No, I didn't realize that.
So when you need aid, you don't have to go to Durham. You can go just a few miles to a CBOC, and you'll have a primary care doctor assigned to you.
Isn't there one near White Med?
There he is on Sunnybrook Road.
Sunnybrook, yeah.
Sunnybrook
mm-hmm.
Road, but you've also got one right here just down the street from where we are on Atlantic Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
You've got one, I think, in Cary, several in Durham. Clayton's got one. There is easy access and availability. And for those of you who are there, I could not stress enough that you need to sign up and get and be counted. And here's one of the reasons why. Once you get into the VA system, they will do your physicals, and they're also going to do blood work.
Mm-hmm.
And the blood work, whatever your results are, may determine whether or not you've been affected by Agent Orange.
They can tell from the blood?
They can tell from the blood work. They call me. To give you an example, I didn't know I'd been affected with Agent Orange. I get a call or get a letter one day from the VA, said we need to meet with you. And I did. And it's I was told to go sign up for the Agent Orange Registry. And I'm not one of these that went out looking for a handout. Mm-hmm. These folks contacted me and said they want to talk to me. I did. And it wasn't too long after that they deemed that, yes, I had been affected by Agent Orange. And my duty station was at Tonsonute Air Base, which is adjacent to Saigon. Mm-hmm. I look back on our compound where we were stationed and think back on my fellow airmen that I served with, and my guesstimate is we've lost probably half in my age group. Now, this is not considering the command staff that were much older than I was at that time. Mm-hmm. We probably lost half of our group to cancer. So I don't know if we want a toxic waste dump, because that real estate had changed hands a lot of times. The Japanese held it in World War II. Mm-hmm. The French took it back. North Vietnamese had it for a while. Then it was taken back by the South Vietnamese. Then we occupied that territory. So, no, it's hard to tell who left what behind. But
hard to sort it out.
And the effects of Agent Orange are quite striking. For those of you who were there, most of you remember that C-123s were used to spray this defoliant. They were called ranch hand aircraft. That was their call sign, ranch hands. When those airplanes returned to the United States after the conflict over there was terminated, they were brought back to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, and they were going to decontaminate those aircraft. They found out it was an impossible job. So what they had to do, they had to actually cut those aircraft, and they had to, as you've seen the big cutters out there, they cut the aircraft into smaller pieces of aluminum. They melted those the aluminum into ingots, and those ingots were transported to somewhere in northern Canada and buried. And they have never revealed quite where, but I think it was somewhere up.
Now, how are you aware of that?
Well, at the time, when I was active in the aviation business, I kept in touch with the element of the Air Force that sales used aircraft. Okay. These would have been primarily transport aircraft that mm-hmm. people would convert to civilian use. And the Air Force, they're the ones that told me this story. That came out of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, and which was a surprise to me. And the reason it pertained to the C-123s, there are several C-123s flying on what they call the legacy circuit. I think today there is one left that is still appears at air shows. Mm-hmm. And I had a gentleman who wanted to try to acquire a used C-123 for that, you know, just he had a lot of money and he could take it around on the legacy circuit.
You could afford expensive tours.
Yeah, very expensive toy. And it was at that time when I learned what the airplanes became scarce. And mm-hmm. when I contacted the Air Force and I said, are you not going to sell these? Now, some of these were sold, by the way, to countries in South America. Mm-hmm. And I guess they may exist down there. Thailand had a fleet of C-123s. And I think some of those C-123s were used in the movie Con Air, if you remember. They used a C-123 mm-hmm. in that movie. But actually, I think there were about three C-123s that were used in that movie. And one was a prop that they used to do scenes with. So that's how I obtained that information. It actually mm-hmm. came from the Air Force. It was a verbal thing, not a written thing, but right. which told me, well, they're not out there to be found. But an Agent Orange was used. It's quite an interesting study on that product. I know when I returned from Vietnam, I heard some people speak, and they said there was nothing. There were no carcinogens in Agent Orange, and it was, you know, that for those people complaining, it was a myth. But in fact, there was a professor at North Carolina State who said, "No, there's no carcinogens in Agent Orange." But
what were his credentials?
He was PhD. And he was a chemist. Mm-hmm. I don't remember his name. It's been 50 years.
Well, good.
And I listened to him.
Let him rest in peace.
I listened to him, listened to what he said, and we took him at face value. But
you know, there was a lot of pushback on the Agent Orange thing, and I understand now if once, such as you are, you're identified that you get sort of go the top of the line, if that's the right term?
If you are a cancer patient, yes, you do.
Yeah.
And there's certain disability standards or percentages of disability that are awarded. They're categorized. And that's why if any of you gentlemen out there or ladies feel like you have been contaminated with Agent Orange, you need to file a claim. I would suggest that you contact your veteran service officer. Mm-hmm. And they're usually run by county governments. They can be run by different people. Mm-hmm. Let me see. I think the American Legion can help you with this. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to the VA in Durham and talk to them about this. And they have an office set aside that they will take your claim and process your claim. Mm-hmm. And then if you're deemed to be, if the VA deems that you have conditions indicated in Agent Orange, then you will go back to your veteran service officer and then you will file a claim. And it will be reviewed by the VA. It's not a fast process.
Yeah.
But it's one they are actively pursuing, and they're trying to reach out to these vets and reach as many vets as they can. Mm-hmm. And unless you raise your hand in our county, they'll never know you're out there.
That's right. And every time we talk about veterans, I like to remind people that many people don't know they're a veteran. My own brother and brother-in-law said, "I'm not a veteran." I wished him a happy Veterans Day one time. I said, "Yes, you are." And my brother-in-law, he had been in the Guard, so he thought that, yeah, if you've served at all in any military organization, you are a veteran.
That is correct. Now, these health conditions, you may develop these health conditions, but unless you were in an Agent Orange designated area, mm-hmm. you will not qualify for any disability through the VA. And that favorite document, the DD-214 that said you served, will indicate if you were in Southeast Asia and the number of months, days, and years that you served in Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. So if you, say, were in guard status but never went into those areas that were affected by Agent Orange, you would not be a candidate. But these are for candidates that were there. And it's something to look into.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of you out there that are going to hear this, and you don't even know you qualify or may qualify. And it's something you need to jump on.
That's good advice, Jim. What would be the first step? Go to one of those?
I would enroll with the VA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's one section in Durham on the first floor of the VA. You will go in there and you apply for your VA card. It's like an identification card, or it's like a credit card. It's got a magnetic strip on the back and it has your photograph on it. Combination driver's license and credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And that enrolls you into the system. And then you will need to ask for VA care, see if you qualify. And usually if you're a Southeast Asia veteran, and you have been in one of these four countries, they will accept you on that you are a potential Agent Orange victim, that you served in one of these four areas. I think it's from 1958 through 1972 or 73. There's a time limit there, and they will consider you a patient of the VA hospital system. From there, They will you'll get your physical, they'll do your blood work, and they'll do a lot of questionnaires, and it is during this questionnaire and the blood work is just normal blood work you would give any physical, you know, the your chemistry panels, your some call them executive panels, CBC, all of that. Mm-hmm. And they can determine from different chemical elements in your body if you have been affected or not. Mm-hmm. And again, things such as diabetes or high A1C, high blood pressure. And there's a list of criteria, and you can get this from the VA. They will show you the ailments that might qualify you for consideration.
Well, even if you weren't exposed to Agent Orange, can people still go and make claims on things that have happened since?
That would be up to them to determine that. I'm not qualified to answer that question.
Yeah.
That would be out of my pay grade, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, you have so much experience in the Agent Orange and such a good memory on that. We'll just call you the Agent Orange expert.
Well, I don't know if I'm an expert, but I could tell people, you know, what they need to follow.
Where to start.
Where to start.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you listening out here, I was discovered by accident. I mean, I had no idea, you know, that, you know, I was a candidate or anything like this. And until I got a letter from the VA that said they wanted to talk with me, and they called me in. And we had several visits. And that is when they came back and says, you are an Agent Orange case.
Good news, bad news.
It is. But, you know, with the economy being what it is, it never hurts to have a backup plan.
Absolutely.
And for anybody that was in Vietnam or in Southeast Asia, in the military during that time, I would strongly suggest you enroll into the VA system. You may not use it, but you've got it in your back pocket if you need it.
That's great advice.
And I'll tell you, I had a family physician who encouraged me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, you need to have them in your back pocket. Those were his words to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, you know, trying to take any business away from the private sector. But this is an organization that is set up to handle this.
Yeah.
And like I say, in the early days, this was the effects of Agent Orange were misdiagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad part is, I look back, and the veterans out there can do the same thing. Look at your high school classmates, and if you were fortunate, you didn't lose any classmates in Vietnam, but most classes did. Maybe some classes lost more than others.
Mm-hmm.
But as time has progressed, we've lost more classmates to the effects of Agent Orange than we lost in combat in Vietnam.
Wow. Hey, shifting gears a little bit, Jim. Are you aware of these programs where they take veterans and put them on a bus and take them up to Washington, D.C.? There's a program called...
I've heard of these.
A lot of them are flown.
They're flown up. That's right. They're called...
Flight...
Victory... What is it? Legacy Honor... Legacy Flights?
Legacy Flights, yeah, I think.
That has, I think, primarily been geared to the World War II vets.
Yes, you're right.
And they want to get them up to see the World War II Memorial.
Yeah.
And it's their way of saying thank you to these fellows that really put it out there, you know, all of it. Now,
yeah.
I mean, I'm amazed. I grew up in a military town, and I would hear the stories of some of the things the parents of my classmates did in World War II, from being pathfinders.
Yeah. Did you know that they have just finished a World War I Memorial?
Now, that I was not aware of.
Yeah. I read about it in Smithsonian Magazine here at the Reading Service, and was very intrigued by it. And then I had the occasion to go up to Washington, D.C., and saw it. Wasn't quite finished yet, but you could tell the stark beauty of it. It's a very unique memorial. And then I went up again when it was finished, and it's just something I really would, it's very simple, but I would commend people to go up and see it.
Well, everybody needs to pay homage to those folks that served in World War One.
Yeah, World War.
And then that was followed by, they
didn't get a memorial till now.
They didn't, and a lot of those fellas in World War One suffered, the enemy used gas.
Oh, yeah. Nasty.
Nasty. It was, and I guess it was after that was outlawed by the Geneva Conventions. But, hey, laws are made to be broken.
Yes.
And they were broken. And gas has been used in other parts of the world in other conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes intentionally, sometimes accidentally.
Uh-huh.
But it has been, and that is a horrid demise.
Yeah. War is an awful, awful thing. And We keep trying to figure out how to not have any more, but look at the quagmire we're in now.
We are, well, there's always going to be a troublemaker out there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And our job is to be prepared to handle that. And
thankfully, we have people who will do that.
And volunteer will stand up and, you know, answer the call.
Yeah, yeah.
It, you know, I'm looking, the numbers of American citizens that actually serve in the military now, I think, has dropped probably to a low level, and maybe less than 10% of American citizens now have served or are serving in the military.
Yeah.
I don't know, folks. That's, I don't have any, that's something I picked up, you know.
You got 1 minute to finish up.
Well, I would suggest this. If any of you have any questions about how to get hold of a veteran service officer or a, the VA, just call the Veterans Hospital in Durham.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it may have a little wait time. And then they can refer you to contact, when to contact. But it would be worth your while. And, Frank, maybe if they could even call and leave a message with you, we could get in contact with people that could put them in the right direction.
Yeah, you're welcome to do that. I'll give our phone number at the end of our program, which we always do anyway. I'd like to have some more blind and impaired vision people who are veterans to come on. We've only had one. Come on, y'all. Come on over and have a good talk together. Anyway, Jim, for the third time, I'm going to stand up and salute you.
And I salute you in return, Colonel. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. And let me just mention this. The VA number, the main number in Durham, is 919-286-0411.
Thank you so much, Jim, being on the program.
And thank you for having me, Frank. It's been a pleasure.
And we've run out of time for this edition of Salute a Veteran Every Day. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Frank Urban for the North Carolina Reading Service. See you next time. Also, that VA number in Durham, as we promised to repeat, is 919-286-0411. Or call us here at the studio.